In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Our readings today from Isaiah and from Acts and from the baptism of Jesus, from the Gospel of Matthew, are about servants being called forth. There is a servant in Isaiah who is chosen, in whom God's soul delights. God's Spirit is upon the servant. In our second reading, the servant is commanded to preach to the people and to testify about Jesus. And in our gospel, we have the beginning of Jesus' public ministry with his baptism by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. On Thursday night at Christina Paglianowen's ordination, Bishop Rabb was the preacher. And he said, "We come to Epiphany," which was Thursday night, "and it's time to take Jesus out of the manger. We like to have the baby Jesus in the manger. We like the scene of, which will come down this week, of the wise men who are now at the manger, the shepherds, the animals. But after the birth of Jesus each year, we are compelled to go forth and to speak the truth, not of what we think or what we feel, but what we believe about our faith. By going another road," which I talked about last week, "the wise men returned by another road to avoid Herod, but also their lives had been changed by what they saw where the star led them." I'd like you to take your prayer books, if you can find them. I hope you can find them, the red ones. We're going to look at the baptismal covenant, which it's on page 304 and 305. And when we have a baptism here or at the Easter Vigil, we review our baptismal covenant at least once a year. And if someone were to ask you, what is the road of a Christian? I think you'd find it in the five questions on the bottom of page 304 and top of 305. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers? And that is coming to church. Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord to seek forgiveness? Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, saying that I believe and witnessing to that? And then will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself, and striving for justice and peace among all people, and respecting the dignity of every human being? That's a minute by minute, hour by hour, daily task. I think that as we start a new year, each year we're called at Epiphany with this reading that comes right after the Feast of the Epiphany, the baptism of Jesus, to look again, is to see if we're really moving along that road of Christ, of these five questions. Last Sunday, I talked about an interview that Bill Moyers did, and he did it with a Harvard University professor named Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot. She has written the book called The Third Chapter, Passion, Risk, and Adventure in the 25 Years After Age 50. And she says that life is a continuing course, no matter what your age, because we'll find this out for the youth in confirmation, no matter what your age, it's a continuing course in educating yourself in that other road of the baptismal covenant. The road that the rest of the world, as we saw in Tucson, the sad news that came out of Tucson, the shooting there, often does not take. The Christian faith is that course in the baptismal covenant. That's at the heart of who we are. And so when we come to another road or another chapter in our road of faith, it's not about pulling back or feeling comfortable or standing still where we are, this life of faith. It's about moving forward, taking an adventure. It may feel terrifying and threatening, but it is the way of faith. In his interview with Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot, Bill Moyers asked her to tell some stories of folks who had made another chapter in their road of faith. And one of his questions was, well, it's very all well and good to change what you do or how you do it or go on a new adventure, but what about folks who are out of work, who might be homeless, who are struggling? That choice of making a new choice is only for those who are well off. And she said this. There was a factory worker who had been laid off from his job in Madison, Wisconsin. And he and his wife went to a flea market every single Saturday with their stuff, trying to trade it or sell it so that they could put food on their table and continue to feed their family. And at the flea market one Saturday, the man saw these strange and interesting sculptures and pieces of art made by artists who were bringing their art to the flea market. And he said, you know what? That's interesting. I could do that. And I'm good with metal. I'm a welder. So he went home and began playing with the metal that he had around his house. And he began sort of saying, what do I like? What do I care about? And he loved dinosaurs. He always loved dinosaurs since he saw Jurassic Park. So he began to create these animals out of metal. They became sculptures. And he took them back to the flea market, and people became interested. And now he sells them, at first almost for nothing, but it caught on. And by the time that he talked to Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot, he was actually making a living with his art. His innovation, his resourcefulness, his pride in his own creativity allowed him to take another piece of the road of faith in his life. So it is not just for those of us that are in comfortable positions to take another path and make another choice. But it's hard for us as we get older to learn how to make that choice. When we're in school, we're often taught to move quickly, to be singular in our ambitions, to be competitive, to not waste time. But often as we move into the life of faith and make changes in our lives each year, maybe each decade, at critical times of our lives, it's about being creative and collaborative, not competitive or ambitious or moving quickly. Sometimes we have to fail. We have to play the fool in order to learn. It takes lightening up, a sense of humor. It takes moving more slowly. But it also takes listening carefully. Small incremental steps instead of large leaps forward. Discovering things we didn't know before. The courage to speak our minds and speak our hearts when that's hard to do. And one of the other things that Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot found in her study was that intergenerational behavior was critical to that moving forward for anyone at any stage of life. And we know that well at Memorial Church. And church communities are often the one place in our life these days, except maybe soccer leagues and things like children's soccer leagues and things like that, that we actually are together as a community, young and old, single, gay, straight, all ages. And so here's her story of how that happened. And it happened around the Obama campaign. She was called to go to New Hampshire and to be a volunteer to go and knock on doors and talk to voters. Now, this could be for any candidate that you wanted to support. And she was asked to go with a young man who was in his late teens, early 20s in college. And so they went to visit folks in New Hampshire, rural New Hampshire. And she said this about this experience. There was this kid who had, you know, voluminous knowledge about the sort of politics and names of politicians, who was incredibly energetic and who had great ideas, but who was completely urgent and impatient and a terrible listener. and also someone who stereotyped all of New Hampshire. He thought they were all kind of backwards, rural country people, and that they hadn't really thought deeply about these matters, and that all he needed to do was feed them the information and not expect them to change. Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot, who was many years older, said, "My approach was one of beginning by listening to the people they knocked on the doors, not assuming that I knew who they were just because I knew where they lived, not beginning with a stereotype, but with trying to, with expecting that they had the capacity to think deeply as well." And so the negotiation of her relationship with this young man was one of my helping him wait, helping him listen. And for me, it was really sort of experiencing and catching his energy, his drive, his impatience, his infinite optimism. Bill Moyers asked her, "Clearly he had more energy than you, right?" And she said, "He had more energy, but his impatience often depleted his energy because he was so impatient to get the message across." And so she talks about and continues to talk about how those relationships in our lives, those intergenerational relationships, are key to all of us learning how to move into the next stage of the road of faith. It takes curiosity, listening, it takes the wisdom to slow down so that you can listen and ask questions. I think that's true in all of our lives, our individual lives in the world, and it's true here at Memorial Church. I think we're really at a liminal time, a really decision time for the parish. A lot of our ministries are coming to different stages where it's time to take the next chapter, and we're trying to listen about how to do that. And it's important that we follow some of these tenets that Sarah Lawrence Lightfoot came up with. Small incremental steps instead of large leaps forward. Discover things we'd never known before about one another. The courage to speak our minds, all of our minds and our hearts. And also this intergenerational behavior and relationship is key. This past weekend, on Saturday morning, two of our ministries, both the Samaritan Community and the Musical Ministry, had meetings. And what was really fascinating for me is to see where both Samaritan Community and the Musical have come in the years. Samaritan Community began in 1971 when my predecessor, Barney Farnham, and his wife, Sue, made sandwiches for homeless folk from the rectory next door. It eventually grew. Relationships shifted and changed between other churches in First and Franklin, Emmanuel. There have been grants to Samaritan Community. There's been support. And now Samaritan Community is on really firm financial foundations. And so they are in a place where they are thinking, what is the next step on our road of ministry? The Musical, likewise, has grown from just a few songs on Palm Sunday evening to a very large musical ministry. How is that going to continue as we as a community look at our worship, our Christian education, all of the programs that make the intergenerational peace and community important? I think that as we approach annual meeting, there'll be lots of conversation and time as we move into Lent to continue to talk and learn from one another, to be curious and to listen. I am optimistic about where we are going, but it is frightening. It can feel terrifying to change things that we've known and loved, wherever we've come into those places of ministry. It's hard in our own life to let go of ways of being. As an empty nester parent now, I find it very difficult to be without my children, not to know what they're doing every day, where they are, what they might be up to, who they're with, not to know about their daily life anymore. But in order for me to live fully, I have to let go of wanting to know those things. I have to be curious about their lives, but also about the life that's left for me here. So I invite you, as we move towards annual meeting as a community, to continue to be curious, to listen, to cross over boundaries, intergenerational and beyond. For in that, the light of Christ will lead us to a new chapter for Memorial. Amen.